Welcome to Uncommon Purpose with your hosts, Mandy Cooley
and Stephanie Porter.
We believe our uncommon purpose is found at the intersection of our heads and our hearts.
In each episode, we'll share stories, resources, and expertise that will help us build meaningful connections and reflect the love of Christ.
Join us as we have an authentic conversation about the journey of living for the Lord while cultivating our uncommon purpose. Today, podcast friends, we are talking about curiosity.
Love it. What a great topic. People may not know this, but you are one of my favorite curious friends.
Oh, that's a nice little thing to put on my name tag. Tell me about that.
Yeah, this is why I suggested this topic, Mandy. I think you demonstrate, you exemplify, and you lean into curiosity. And it challenges me. You ask the best questions, and I think, and you ask the next best follow-up question. And I think, dang, I was ready to change the subject. And she is so on fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not changing the subject. Sometimes, yeah, I have to be careful really with who I go all that way deep with.
Yeah.
As we talk about curiosity. Okay. So tell me what curiosity means to you.
For me, you know, not even with my therapist hat on, but just as a person, curiosity means vulnerability, honestly. Mm. And because when someone gets curious about you, you get to decide how much information you're going to share.
Mm-hmm.
And in relationship and authenticity, we kind of want to be close up real quick, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, not be vulnerable. But when we're living an uncommon purpose,
yeah,
vulnerability is key in relationship. So I view curiosity with vulnerability. I also view curiosity with intentionality.
Mm.
You know, when we're having our in-depth discussions, your questions are very intentional. And it shows me that you were listening. You weren't just listening with your ears, but you were listening with your heart. And you're trying to understand me and know me. So that's how I view curiosity.
When we talked about this being a topic, I took kind of a dive into the world around curiosity. And it's so interesting. This is one of those things that, this is one of those topics that I think the world defines differently than those of us who choose to walk in the way of Jesus. When you describe curiosity, what I hear you describing is a way of being in relationship. I hear you describing a way of looking at someone or being in proximity to someone that is deepening connection.
Yes, 100%.
I remember, I mean, it's just like one of the very first sort of, I don't know, what would you call those? The just funny little sayings that, like meme? The idioms.
Oh yeah.
That I think idioms were like a pre-meme. They were like the Ben Franklin memes.
I don't think you're wrong.
But the idiom of curiosity killed a cat.
Yeah.
And I remember learning that without even realizing I was learning it. When I took steps towards understanding healthy relationship dynamics, I felt like I had to relearn what it meant to be curious.
Mm.
Because I feel like, I remember growing up with kind of a belief that being curious is kind of like being nosy.
Yes.
And it's going to get you in trouble.
Trouble.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up in a small town where I, you know, we would often joke, I think if you bumped into anybody, truly in any kind of small town, I mean, my high school graduating class was 49. I mean, it's so tiny, but you know, the standing joke was, you know, if you went to the bathroom, someone across town knew, you know, what time it was and, you know, which light in your house was on. You know, the line between curiosity for good,
uh-huh,
and nosiness for, I don't know, self-gain, for mm-hmm, information.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, you know, cause that information gives way then to power, right? Like if I know something about you,
right,
I now have kind of a one up, power play, you know, whether it be with you or with someone else around you or someone else around me, like, oh yeah, well, I know this about her. So I feel like growing up female, you know, girls have a bad reputation for gossip and nosiness. And so anyway, all of that just leads back to what I was saying a minute ago, which is I had to learn about curiosity as a good thing.
Yeah.
As a good thing in the context of a relationship and in for the purpose of creating connection and going deeper with someone, not just to get information for the sake of holding it and having it as some sort of commodity that I may be able to use at some point.
Right. And then on the flip side, the trust is involved in curiosity, right? Because when you're getting curious about me, you know, I don't always think like this, but I know, cause I work with my clients, that a lot of them are like, why do you want to know that? What's the motivation for you to have this information that you just said? Cause knowledge is power. Mm-hmm.
You are their therapist.
Yeah.
What other motivation would you have?
but that's because they have trust issues.
Yes.
Right. And so, and not in a bad way that, and so they're exhibiting what their belief is, what their biblical belief, their world belief, their relationship belief is. And so it's pretty funny though, when you think about like, oh yeah, do I want this person to have this information about me? Because I mean, growing up in Texas, you hear this statement, pray for Mandy, da 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 da, bless her heart.
Man, the way we choose to gossip cloaked in prayer requests is just sometimes like that is a special art to turn your gossip into a prayer request.
I think people stopped sharing. And we stopped getting curious and then we stopped in relationship and stopped knowing people because we just went inward and we got protective and we started, you know, building walls instead of being able to have gates and talking to our neighbors and, you know, different things. And so I think that it's important that we understand, like, we're going to have someone's going to have knowledge about me, but if I don't let someone be curious, then I can't be known.
Which takes us back to the concept of vulnerability.
Right.
Right. That deepest longing to be known.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need you to be curious, not you specifically, but
the
general person. You. Mm-hmm. I need the other person to be curious, to draw out of me what maybe I cannot yet articulate.
Yes.
That's one of the beauties of relationships, of conversations, of safe people that allow us the space to ask questions and to think about what we want to share so that we can pull it out.
Yeah. So let me ask you, so when someone gets curious about you, you're saying, oh, it gives you a self-awareness.
I mean, it can, it depends on who it is.
Right.
Because in fairness, I mean, I think that I do live fairly open. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a lot that, you know, if someone came up to me and said, you know, how's it going with your oldest being a freshman in college? I definitely don't try to present a like, oh, it's so great kind of perspective. There's days that it's just wrecking my heart. I know we've shared kind of this, the emotional woes of launching children into college.
Yes.
Sometimes it's really sad.
And it is.
If someone asks me on a day where I'm feeling sad, I don't generally have a problem sharing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I think that the self-awareness for me really can kind of only happen most authentically when I'm in a conversation with somebody who I do believe has my best interest at heart when in asking the question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately there are some people that have their own agendas for asking.
Yeah.
So with curiosity, for me comes a prayer of discernment.
Mm-hmm. Good.
To recognize when I share what I share. There's kind of two sides to the curiosity coin, right? It's the when, how do I respond when someone is curious with me? And then how do I show up curiously in relationships?
Relationship. Yeah, that's good. I think it is both. What would you say, like, would you say there's red flags or pitfalls in curiosity that we need to be aware of?
Yeah. I mean, I think still the agenda or the motivation that we feel, in fairness, we can offer, you know, we can recognize with another. You know, sometimes I think that one of the pitfalls is kind of the story that I tell myself.
Yeah. Good.
And so, you know, there's lots of different terminology for that, but it is just this, what is it that I think I know? I don't necessarily know that I know. When I enter into a conversation where I desire to be curious, where it's a choice of mine that I'm showing up with that,
yeah,
I want to always be really careful of what assumptions I'm bringing. That's kind of why curiosity for me has become really important.
Yeah.
Is because I don't want to make an assumption about your motivation, about mm-hmm. my kid's motivation, about my coworker's motivation. So sometimes the question is just like, help me not tell myself a story.
Yeah. Right. Don't help me not fill in the gaps and the blanks.
Yes.
I love that. I love yeah. that.
Yeah.
How does curiosity get you in trouble?
It probably depends on who I'm being curious with. I think one of the ways is I do live in a lot of spaces where I have permission to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
So ministry spaces, personal relationships, even with my kids, I think my kids are usually... we have some really good conversations around, tell me more about that. Like, I want to know the heart of my children. And I will at times, sort of forget that I have not yet earned the right to be curious in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll over ask, more out of, for me, where I recognize that is more like I've been flexing that muscle. And I flex that muscle often. So then I come up against someone who's like, I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet. And so I want to honor that, but I'm like, oh, darn it. I asked too much too soon. But yeah, I think that, and then sometimes just the desire, how do I want to say this? Like the insatiable desire for more. Curiosity is,
mm-hmm.
Good. Answers beget questions.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you ask a question or as you answer a question and I get more curious and I want to yeah. know more, it's kind of an infinite process, right? I mean, we truly can just continue to kind of walk that out. And, I think limits are something that the Lord wants us to recognize.
Right.
And there's a time where my appetite for more knowledge or more information, more answers, just doesn't need to be
mm-hmm.
Quenched. It's okay for me to sit with some unanswered questions mm-hmm. and let that tension exist in the yeah. midst of some unknowing.
Absolutely. I think too, like in relationship, or I mean, that's what we're specifically talking about is curiosity in relationship. It's not fun to have a one-sided relationship where I'm doing all the learning or all the yeah. like interest. And sometimes I think even, you know, I realize in a conversation, I'm like, oh dang, she was asking great questions and I was just talking, but did I ever ask about her?
Mm.
And I think that's important when we realize like, I am really mindful with that because I know when we show up to sit and have coffee or to sit around the table and just talk or and hang out, I know you're going to ask great questions because this is a skill that I really think this is a skill you have honed
100%. It's something we can learn.
Right. And I'm like, So I am very intentional of, okay, she's asked some really great questions. How have I reciprocated that curiosity? Would you say that is important for you as you're a curious person? Is it important that people are curious about you? I mean, what's that like in relationship?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Because one of the things that I would say is probably a deep sadness that I will sometimes carry in relationship is the feeling of being in a room and feeling alone. Mm-hmm. I know that that is just a universally understood experience of being, being lonely in a crowd.
Yeah.
Yes. I of course desire to be known. And I think if I'm, as I hear you talking, asking this question, I'm thinking, I wonder if I maybe developed that skill as an attempt to keep the attention off of me.
I was going to ask if that was a deflection, not for you, but could curiosity be a deflection?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a question. So in the spirit of curiosity, that was a question that popped into my head is like, I wonder if maybe what led me initially, to begin to learn here was a desire to keep the focus elsewhere. Mm. I think it's uncomfortable when people are asking us questions about ourselves. Even in safe and healthy places, I think it can be uncomfortable.
Especially when you don't know the answer. And someone asks you a question and you're like, oh, I don't know. I got to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And sit with it for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, yes, it is important in relationships for, others to seek to understand me in the same way. But I do know that I agree with you that it's a skill, but I also don't really hold that. You know, if you're a friend of mine in real life and you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh shoot, she's going to pay attention to how many questions I ask or what kinds of questions I ask. That is definitely not the case. Like I don't hold it as a, like I'm doing this.
A marker. Yeah, no.
Yeah. And you know, in my own, I remember when I first learned about the Enneagram years and years ago, and I know that's controversial to some people, but the Enneagram is has always for me been just a sweet little space of self-understanding. Yeah, it does give me good insight to how the world operates, but mostly for me, it's been about helping me to understand my own self and the way that I navigate the world. And I remember when I first learned about the Enneagram, I realized that I really had kind of been doing a little bit of quid pro quo in life. Like I really had been doing a little bit of like, well, I'm going to do this for you so that one day you'll be able to do that for me.
Good insight.
It's that's an Enneagram 2 thing. We like to pretend we're just doing really nice things for other people, but secretly we're out of balance and not healthy. We're like holding on to like, well, I did this, so that means you need to do this. And that's been good learning for me. That's been good awareness for me over the last 5-7 years of being able to pull apart and recognize where I'm doing things just for the good of others and not necessarily for, some, you know, stockpiled, good that I'm hoping will come back to me one day. So I don't hold curiosity in that way where I'm hoping someone will be curious back with me, but, I do appreciate being in a room full of people, I felt this most tangibly at Christmas, and you were at this gathering where I hosted this past year. Well, I say I hosted, let's be clear. I just invited. It wasn't my house, but I invited a group of about 20 friends to join me for a favorite things party for Christmas this year.
So fun. And
it was such a sweet little thing, but I looked around that room and there was a moment where I was really just super emotional about seeing a room full of people who knew me, who knew different parts of me, but knew all of me in kind of a strange way. It was a sweet gift when I think back to times where I have prayed for a community of women who are healthy and God-fearing and lovely and broken and open and honest about all their messy mess, and how we can all just be together and love one another. And so I think that in most cases, I do find myself around people who are equally as curious about me as I am about them.
Yeah.
But I do feel like maybe at times, maybe I ask questions to keep it from being about me if I'm not quite ready to go sit in that hard and heavy space.
That's a really good self-awareness and reflection of what a pitfall could be, right? That I might do that. So I don't have to talk about me. And sometimes there's, when we're in unsafe situations, because, you know, one of the things I really love about that book, Safe People, you know, here I am reading this book about, this person's unsafe and this person's unsafe. And I'm feeling like, I can just walk away from all these relationships that I am like, and then chapter 12 comes.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, listen, you got to learn how to be in relationship with unsafe people. And I was like, what?
And I don't want to do that.
Right. And so challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think like sometimes being curious is a good way to navigate unsafe relationships, because one, it gives information and it helps you learn the other people, and that maybe you're a little bit uncertain about how the dynamics are at play. And then two, it lets you kind of have those healthy boundaries of, okay, I'm going to protect my heart. I'm going to guard my heart, for it's the wellspring of life. But lean in a little bit and learn. I think curiosity can actually help diffuse some of our unsafe relationships.
Well, you know, that's actually I feel like if we take it out of close spaces where, you know, like my small group of friends or my family, conflict is, I think that conflict is best diffused with curiosity. I think it's an awesome way to navigate a situation where when we start to get kind of those prickles of discontent or discord, and instead of, again, jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, presuming to know and understand the motivations of another, to get curious and say, I was recently in a conversation with someone who was, I was beginning to feel defensive, and I paused at one point and I was like, can you tell me what this question is about? And I don't know, once upon a long time ago, I read a book called The Question Behind the Question. It's like 10 pages, but it is just, it changed for me a lot of how I interact with those who are kind of poking at me with questions. And it disarmed the other person for me to ask, tell me what's underneath that. And I didn't have a defensive reaction to the question that I didn't want to answer. I also was able to get some more information so that I could sort out a little bit more of my most appropriate response to what's really kind of a business transaction more than anything else. You know, it's not a close circle relationship. It's just transactional. And it was so helpful. So, you know, on a practical tool for listeners, I think when we're in conflict and we choose to ask, take a breath and, and kind of open to tell me more about that. What's behind that? What are you really getting at? There's a lot more opportunity for at least a calm end to a conversation that doesn't escalate into something that, you know, we all know that we end up regretting the things we say in those escalated moments.
Yeah. And you know, what's important about that, I love that you say that in conflict, curiosity diffuses conflict. when we ask those questions, we need to ask them without snarkiness, not mm-hmm. like, right. Yeah. Not, mm-hmm. what do you mean by that? And tell me more about, right. We have to be like, right. okay, I want to understand and mm-hmm. can you tell me more?
Yes.
But I love it because the thing that helps us do that is taking that deep breath.
Mm, right. Seriously, breathing is the most beautiful hack.
Yes. It gets oxygen to the brain,
which keeps us out of fight and flight.
Absolutely.
Fight, flight, and freeze. Man. Yeah, and it's absolutely. I wish somebody would have taught me to breathe well when I was younger.
I know.
I think I would have kept myself. I think I would have gotten myself. I just wouldn't have ended up in so much mess.
Right.
If I had learned. And I had a sassy mouth when I was little.
Oh, man. Okay. Me too. And I'm sitting here thinking, I've got 6 months left with my 17-year-old before she launches. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to help her breathe. That was my takeaway today. What do really quick before we're wrapping up here, what are some other practical tools or tips about being curious? What would you share?
I think it's important to just keep trying.
Yeah.
There are people who are not innately curious. There are, various personality types, regardless of how you want to put yourself in a bucket, whether it's you don't trust or you overtrust, or you like people or you don't like people, or you're introvert or you're extrovert, whatever sort of label you're sticking on yourself. Mm-hmm. Some of us are just simply less curious by nature.
Right.
And if you want what's on the other side of curiosity, if you want the connected relationship, if you want the knowing and being known, if you want the ability to navigate difficult conversations and conflict and bring restitution and resolution into spaces where you are, you might just have to fake it. I know that sounds really disingenuous and I don't mean it that way. It's really kind of the old adage of fake it until you make it.
Until you make it. Yes. That's what I was thinking.
I think sometimes it's easy to believe that we aren't something and then we aren't something.
Yeah.
So I often tell my youngest teenager, our brains believe what we tell them.
Yes.
And if I continually tell myself I'm not curious, then I won't be curious.
Right.
So I think we just sometimes have to try it and fumble. I mean, yeah. The vulnerability of receiving someone's curiosity is pretty equally matched to the vulnerability of extending curiosity. And so I might make a mistake in the question I ask. It might come out of my mouth wrong. It might upset you. I might be able to read from your nonverbals that was not the right way to do that. And then I get to repair, and then I get to restore, and then I get to bring us back into right relationship. But if I never try, there's no chance that I get the goodness of what's on the other side of a relationship of knowing and being known.
Yeah. I love that. And I'm going to read it actually, because we quote this passage all the time in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about the love chapter, right? Love is kind, love is patient. But at the end of the chapter, he says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, he says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known."
Mm-hmm.
And that sums up, if love is patient and love is kind and it is, does not envy, not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, does not keep a record of wrongs, rejoices in the truth, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. All of those are ingredients of being curious.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we lean into what love is and we can be curious in our relationships, then we can be fully known. And I think that leads us to living an uncommon purpose.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah. What a great way to wrap it up.
That was good. The Lord came to my mind right there.
Yeah, that was good. That is good. Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing this topic up. This is a good, I think we probably could revisit even just the practical types of questions, kind of some role play of what does it sound like to be curious? What does it look like to be curious? What does it feel like to be curious?
I think so.
On a future episode, we'll do a curiosity part two.
I think so, because I honestly think it's a skill that you have that we would benefit from being taught. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, so, yeah. And how did you learn? And how can I grow? And what do I do when I feel uncomfortable? I think there's a lot to keep going.
Those who have sat on the other side of my curiosity and received and experienced their own discomfort. We'll have some guest speakers for that. How about that? We'll interview some friends that have sat on the other side of those questions.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah. That'd be a good conversation to bring some others into. That'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
So, as we wrap up and we talk about our two questions, where did you see God in our talk today?
Yeah, I think where I see God in this conversation is just in the appreciation that God has given me a space to cultivate a skill that I didn't have before. And doing that work, leaning into others who modeled that curiosity around me, has birthed really beautiful friendships and beautiful family relationships. That, man, it's just when you get to see the fruit of it, it's hard to deny that. I know that this is just how God wants us to live. Yeah. And I'm grateful that he is long suffering and puts up with my shenanigans and still continues to give me an opportunity to grow more and be more like him every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Great.
What about you? Where did you see God in this conversation?
I would say I really feel like that in order to be known, we have to be realizing it on the flip side of being willing to be known.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that was a good reminder of, hey, if you want to be known, be strong and bold and get to know others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a good reminder of his love. That people that he's created each one of us to be known and to be loved. And we all crave it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we crave it differently and it looks differently. Cause like you said, we've got these different personality traits, but you know, let's show up for each other and show up for show up for yourself, but let's show up for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. All right, friends, until next time.
We've loved having this conversation with you, and we are excited for the next one. Make sure to subscribe to Uncommon Purpose wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. Also, you can connect with us on social media. We would love to hear your thoughts, your stories, and your experiences. Your journey is a part of this larger tapestry we're weaving together. Until next time, friends.